Welcome in. Time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Hey, welcome into our daily editorial. I'm going to focus on a number of things today. We're going to talk a little bit about our opinion on the justification of the invasion of Ukraine by Russia. We're also going to talk a little bit about something that yesterday was a very important topic to me that CFS 2000 addressed in an absolutely brilliant, in my opinion, comment. Let's talk a little bit about his comment. Jimmy, you go first.
Well, it's consistent with what our point was in yesterday's editorial, that there is a truth out there, but finding it is really difficult, and you have to keep looking. And, you know, it's you've got to be able to accept that your assumptions, that our individual assumptions may be incorrect. Question your assumptions always. So I think CFF's point was a very good one. That there is truth out there, we can find it. Though often people still try to find the facts that justify their opinions, and it's difficult to question that.
Yeah, it very definitely is. You really have to, use a certain amount of intuition, and you have to really go after the news from various sources. For example, yesterday I went to some sources. After I read your article, AJ, which I really appreciated. Sorry, I got a really bad throat this morning. I really appreciated you sending the information from what I think is totally an unbiased source, being Yahoo News. Concerned when I read that, I read it almost instantly. When you put in the comment, I went to various sources last night to really see what was going on. I did watch Fox, but I also watched BBC. In terms of Fox, I thought it was interesting. Hannity went into the particulars of just how terrible this Russian invasion is, and he got Sean Penn to come on the show. There is a bit of friction between those two guys, but I'm not sure that they settled that friction, because I'm not sure it's settleable, but it sure gave me what I think is an unbiased opinion as to exactly what's going on in the Ukraine. Any comments, Jimmy?
I actually question all news sources, Fox, Yahoo, and everyone. But at the same, again, because I want to question my assumptions.
Yeah.
But I think there's certain facts, and there's things that you have to ask yourself about this entire situation. I thought it was interesting that Sean Hannity would interview Sean Penn. Sean Penn is definitely a progressive leftist guy that has an agenda. And I think a lot of people on the left have this, you know, the new Black Lives Matter, the new, you know, Antifa, the new, all these things are actually, you know, save Ukraine. It's social justice beliefs. And that's interesting because it's shaping a lot of opinions.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, for the people, many of them on our website and our blog, and they're going to be continually be upset with me on this, they make this accusation that somehow Nazis in Ukraine is a justification for Vladimir Putin to invade. And I want to ask this question. So there are Nazi sympathizers in Los Angeles. And considering the size of 18 million people in the Los Angeles basin area, there's probably a lot of them, probably more than there are in Ukraine. When you talk about New York, you talk about Florida, you talk about Hungary, you talk about Austria or Germany, mm-hmm, or Russia, there are a large number globally of Nazi ideologues or sympathizers because of whatever, race or purity or the idea of a controlled system. Does that in any way give justification for a sovereign nation to invade another sovereign nation and begin destroying their populations? And, you know, you can question United States objectives in Iraq, you can, you know, Afghanistan, all these different things, and the, you know, the whole idea that there was somehow some, you know, ridiculous fraud over the September 11th attacks on the World Trade Center. There are plenty of people out there that believe some of that stuff. But when you actually logically think about it and question your own assumptions, is there any justification to do that? My opinion and my belief is there is no justification for them to cross the border unless there was a direct threat to you. And there is no direct threat. The Ukrainians were not expanding. They were not threatening Russians. Russia had invaded in 2014, took the Crimea, had been fighting in the eastern region, Donbass area, for 7 years, killing people, trying to the propaganda effort, and more importantly, an authoritarian leader that blocks every potential questioning of his authority or any information that would counter his position, which is Vladimir Putin and what he does that make it somehow justifiable or him to be the savior of the world against globalism? I think you have to ask yourself and question your assumptions if those are your positions and your arguments. So, you know, again, there is truth and there's facts. Sifting through it, CFS says that, hey, we're wrong on this. There's no way in my world, in my view, there is somehow a justification for Russia to do this, unless it's to save Vladimir Putin and his oligarchic powers from expanding transparency in the region.
Well, I felt that way, Jimmy, since day one of this whole Ukrainian situation. I felt that Putin was making a huge mistake. I remember I made the comment, I never thought he was that stupid. And to this day, I have to say, I never thought he was that stupid. I think invading the Ukraine made absolutely zero sense. I'm not sure what he's gaining. All I know is what he's losing.
I agree. And I think from the beginning, as I have said, that he lost before he started.
Yep.
This is going to be incredibly painful for Russia. It's going to undermine his credibility globally. I don't think he's going to be overcome it and integrate back into Western economic processes. I don't think he has a big enough economy or has enough influence to actually shape the outcomes that many people think he's going to do by forcing the world into a gold standard. You know, he just doesn't have that much power, with the exception of launching nuclear weapons. And I just don't think he's that irrational. So the success of this operation was lost before it started, in my view. And that was because he silenced any opposing voices. He listened to his own rhetoric and people that were sycophants that told him that he was doing the right thing in his inner circle. And I don't think there's any long-term benefit for the Russians on this. The Ukrainians are absolutely getting, you know, killed, destroyed. Cities are being destroyed. He may successfully hold the eastern portion of Ukraine in order to keep that corridor, which is one of the primary objectives, I believe, from the beginning he wanted to do, to get into the Crimea and the Black Sea fleet to protect that geostrategically. He is not undermining the Jewish leader of Ukraine, who has become very, very influential, not only to his people, but to the rest of the world, regardless of your arguments of what he was. He has that capability now. And he's got the world's ear, because this is just on the basic surface. Bad guy starts beating up on little neighbor. Not a good look. He is not going to win on this.
Right.
And the other thing that I think have to address is the absolute failure on U.S. intelligence and the U.S. Defense Department leadership in any way to assess what was happening there. And that, to me, is unacceptable. They've been lying about it. General Milley has now admitted that his 72-hour idea that the Russians would invade and hold Ukraine, that Ukraine would lose 15,000 troops, Russia would lose 4,000, that's completely inverted, completely wrong. The fact that Lloyd Austin is out there continuing to argue for woke politics, Matt Gaetz from Florida absolutely crucified him in a hearing on the floor on the new defense budget. Why are you spending all this money and you can't even make these predictions? How are you going to make the difference there? Why are you doing socialist indoctrination in the Army War College or in the National Defense University, and forcing woke policies and gender pronoun studies in the Army when you can't make a determination on the future of this nation? Big questions are being asked, and it's embarrassing and I think pathetic for the U.S. military leadership, which is consistent with everything this regime, the Biden regime, has failed at.
Sorry about that phone call. I thought I had my phone turned off. Anyway, now you get to know a little bit about some of the calls that I have to put up with, some of the very, very aggressive marketing calls. Having said that, Jimmy, I want to flip over to, I wish there'd be some regulations against that. I mean, the people are just coming across with flat-out lies. Let's talk a little bit about Biden approval rating of 41%. You questioned that, Jimmy, if I'm not mistaken.
So my question is, how accurate is that polling? We do know that most polling groups look at big urban areas to try and get a shape for that. And many of those areas, it skews the outcome of the polls. They certainly miss the middle of the United States often, yeah, just because of the demographics and the numbers. And I just find it hard to believe that there's actually 41% of Americans that still think that Biden's doing a decent job. Most people that supported Biden that I know of are embarrassed to even say they did. And many, many Democrats that I know are saying, I will never vote Democrat again.
Well, I still maintain that the Democrats, try as hard as they will, are shooting themselves in the foot. Now, they're doing one thing right now, it would appear. They're basically throwing Hunter Biden under the bus. He's getting an awful lot of very negative press conference right now from the press that 2 years ago was sticking up for the guy. How do you feel about that, Jimmy?
It was critical for U.S. mainstream media and the Democratic talking heads, which are basically all the networks, CNN, and MSNBC, to protect Joe Biden in the election. That was essential for their objectives, for that corporate media objective. By allowing now, they've got to find a way, as the Justice Department actually has to admit and continues prosecution or at least investigation on the laptop and all the corrupt and illegal activities that were highlighted on that laptop. Yeah. As they go through that, the media has to find a way to protect themselves by actually leaking a little bit of this information and saying, well, it's Hunter Biden. But then ultimately, they're going to have to bow down to protecting Joe Biden by blaming all of these issues on Hunter Biden. So I think you're seeing that. I think there's going to be a lot of a tremendous amount of pressure on Hunter Biden, as we probably will see indictments in the future, because there are just too many clear evidentiary points that are out there in the public, and the Justice Department will not be able to protect him, but the media will do whatever it can to separate him from Joe Biden and protect their bought and paid for government that's protecting global corporate interests.
Yep, there we go. As you know, I find it interesting, as I have said 2 years ago, what this whole thing is really about is nationalism versus globalism. Jimmy, we've been going for 13 and a half minutes. You got the final word, bud.
Well, I really think we are, you know, what's happening in Ukraine and what's happening in our nation has to be, you know, people have to pay attention and start looking and questioning their own assumptions,
right,
and actually objectively answer these questions to your own self, you know, before you make accusations and start attacking other people for their views. Bottom line is, a lot of Ukrainians, millions of Ukrainians, are suffering dramatically. And you can say that's a mainstream media position all you want, but it's a fact. That is a fact. And they are innocent people that were trying to live their lives, like
right,
the 90%, 95% of all people out there, just trying to live their lives and do and improve that somehow without the threat of violence over their head. And that's an unfortunate reality. And understanding and living through watching the violence of war personally, it to me, it's unacceptable. And my whole life, my whole career was trying to work myself out of a job. I am not proud of, I'm proud of my service, but I'm not proud of the destruction and the things that happen to people because of it. And I think we need to be working away from it, not supporting that type of action. And ultimately, Vladimir Putin is destroying individuals' lives for his own self-interest and the self-interest of a very few people that control all the outcomes for the Russian people.
Agree 1,000%. What do you guys think?
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics.